Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The governments of our earth now are shifting and changing, and they're dealing with major events. And things that you see going on now are minuscule compared to what's going to happen in the future.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor continues our study of the book of Revelation with a part of a message called Understanding End Times in Our Times.
Turn to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 17 to 20. We will actually be looking at chapter 2 and 3, but we'll start at this particular text. And last week, we started into the book of Revelation. We're really not going to be looking at it as in-depth as what we'd like to, but at least the goal is that you would have a good understanding of the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. And this book is not to conceal who he is and all the events, it's to reveal it all. And so last week we started with really just the first 9 verses about the central person, which is who Christ is, and the very purpose of the Word of God is to unveil. That's the very word we get revelation or apocalypse. We get a bad connotation of that word, but it's actually a good one, as it is of unveiling of a piece of art, something valuable, but this is who Christ is. And then the very promise that you're blessed if you read the book, and then finally the very prophecies that we'll be looking at in the days ahead. And I hope it'll be able to help you as we now read Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 20 out loud together. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Chapter 2 and 3 explain those 7 churches, and we'll be looking at that today. I'd like to today just look ahead a little bit, and again, we're not going to be able to get an in-depth study of every verse, but I'd like to give to you very simply what I see to be the view of chapter 2 and 3, really chapter 1, 2, and 3, and the roadmap very simply with 2 questions today, and then the application for us today and where we fit in all of it. Let me answer 2 questions. One of them is, how are you going to view the book of Revelation? That is, in other words, your interpretation. I've got to be a little bit cerebral here and academic, but I've got to give this to you because if you don't get this right, you're not going to get the rest of Revelation, which is why you have all kinds of views thrown out there about what's going to happen in the future. Now, there are 4 basic views. You pick up any conservative commentary, they will give you these 4 terms. Let me give them to you because I want to educate you today. Number 1, you can look at this, interpreting Revelation, as what we would call a preterist. And very simply, what that means is you're believing that the events of Revelation, everything that happened is going to be fulfilled beginning and then ending at AD 70 with the destruction of Jerusalem by Rome. Number 2 view is the word historicist. And basically what that is, you're viewing the book of Revelation as an overview of church history, and you're describing various times of persecution, tribulation, and you're allegorizing all of Revelation and saying all of Revelation has already been completed, so we're ushering in the millennium. Earth is going to get better and better. 3rd word, put the word idealist. In other words, they are interpreting Revelation symbolically, basically a non-literal depiction of the battles between God and satanic forces of evil. And it's not historical, it's not prophetic. You just reduce it to a collection of myths designed to convey spiritual truth. And all of those would be the opposite of what? Look at Revelation 1:3. Do you remember us when we read this? This is what he said, that blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy. It's prophecy. He's not saying it's allegorical. In other words, you're taking concrete events and you're spiritualizing all of it, and it just represents things, and they say the whole book is like that. These first three views, that's what they do. That gets a little technical, but it's important to know. So the last way, and this is the way we're viewing Revelation, is what we would call futurist. You understand Revelation chapter 4 through 22 as a prophetic account of actual future events, specifically focused on the end of the age. The view is the natural result of a straightforward reading of the book. And Bible believers, conservative theologians, historically have looked at Revelation like this. So this is our approach. And so, when you take all that, you look at the rest of Revelation, and we're going to be doing that in the next couple of months, you will see major events. Let me give you what normally a futurist or a conservative would look at the Revelation, the seven major events or people in future, the church age. That's just where we are right now. These are events happening even as we're speaking. And the next event is the tribulation period. Between those two, we have what we call the rapture. The church age is chapters 1 through 3. The tribulation period is the 7 years, Revelation 4 through 18. And when you move forward with that, there's a battle of Armageddon for the millennium and then the eternity in the future. So you have a different events going. In heaven, you'll end up having the next event is the rapture. And during that rapture, after the rapture, there'll be what we call the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. We'll talk about these events, along with the marriage of the Lamb, the church and the bride, even as we have weddings to represent that. And then there'll be a second coming, and we will come down with the Lord at the end of this tribulation. Then there'll be a great white throne judgment, and ultimately eternity in the future. Now, these are parts to Revelation. Those things, events and people, are facts. Because all of this is given for a specific reason to encourage you. That's interpretation. Let me give you number two. The second question is, then how do you outline the book of Revelation? Here's a simple outline. This would be an explanation, and you find it in verse 19. This, in essence, is the key that unlocks the front door of the book of Revelation. It is the divine outline as we would see it literally. Let me give it to you very simply because, number one, you find in verse 19, the Bible says that write these things which you've seen. And John is talking about Christ and the church age. That's chapters 1 through 3. And then with that, I put down off of Dr. Phillips' book, calls the view of and vision of grace. In other words, God gave a vision to John about this age of grace, the time in which the law is done, is fulfilled in Christ, and you're living by the grace of God. And to the point of the rapture, this is what we call the age of grace, the vision of grace. And John then takes seven historical churches and expands that. We'll look at that and we'll come back to that. And then he talks about chapter 4. I believe the revelation of who Christ is to us now in salvation, now the rapture takes place. The church is not mentioned from chapter 4 to the rest of Revelation. In the next events of some horrific events going on earth, there are events going on in heaven that will be there as the church, the bride of Christ. There'll be events going on, the view here on earth, that are horrible. There is events going on in hell also, and there's the events that Satan himself is figuring, I'm going to manipulate through all of this because ultimately I want to be in charge. I'm the person that everybody should be worshiping. And so you'll end up finding the Christ and the revelation and the vision and view of governments, because the governments of our earth now are shifting and changing, and they're dealing with major events. And things that you see going on now are minuscule compared to what's going to happen in the future. They're kindergarten things compared to what will happen between earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, and famines, and horrific things. This is on earth. And during those days, you'll end up finding as well in Revelation 1:19 is when he uses the words, not now the things you've seen, but he says now these are the things which are. And thirdly then, he finishes with the things which shall be hereafter. That's Christ and the future. In other words, that's a vision or a view that God gave to John of glory. Things are going to take place when that seven-year period of time, and then the Battle of Armageddon, and then the millennial that'll take place, the millennium, and then at that point, events that'll happen that will be created a new heaven and a new earth. And you know what? It is going to be awesome. If you're a child of God, and you're reading this, and you get to certain passages, and you think, I don't understand all that. It's okay. There's some things that God said to John, seal them up. I'm not going to tell you about it. There's other things that are literal. There's other things that are symbolic. And we'll talk about all those. But ultimately, as the old preacher said, and I mentioned last week, who wins in the end? That's all you got to know. At this point, we win in the end. I don't care how bad things look. I don't care who is as wicked or evil or bad intents. But Jesus said that things are going to get worse and worse in the last days. And the last days are between when Jesus came to this earth and Jesus then went to heaven. He's preparing a place for us. And someday he's going to come again and receive us unto ourselves. That's called the rapture. And between when he left and when he comes back, we are now in the age of grace. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now, knowing that, let's come back to chapter 1 here and put some meat on the bones here, if we may, and give to you what I see as application that John made, and he made it here in chapter 2 and 3. And we're not going to read through all of this, but I can summarize it very simply in a Reader's Digest version, because this is what John does. John now is hearing the very words of Christ, and he's telling John, John, let me give you a profile of the seven churches that you know. And he lists these seven churches, and he had commendation for six of the seven. He said, these are things you're doing. These churches were historical sites in the day of Paul. And the reality is that these seven letters give us a picture of what the church was like towards the end of the first century, 95 to 100 or so, in the Christian era, and they deal with practical truth, and they address to relevant issues in the day of John. This is when he was writing. Because these particular seven churches were in seven, they were named after the seven cities. Patmos is an island. You can go and visit it today. I've not been there. They say it's beautiful. But that's where John was put as the last apostle. His brother James, do you remember, was the first apostle that was killed. John comes along. John's the last guy. He's the oldest guy. And God gives him a revelation. We read Revelation 1. And so he writes these letters. You find these chapter 2 and 3 of these seven churches. You start at the bottom at Ephesus. You go up the top to Pergamos or Pergamum, and then back down. Those seven locations all had events. So when we read chapter 2 and 3, you can read it from the historical point of view. They were addressed to existing churches. They dealt with real problems.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.